Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I believe everybody ate too much for Thanksgiving. They couldn't get away from the table to join us this morning, Tracy. But we're happy for those who have come out. We just thank you that you can share in this service with us. It's always a day of worship, a day of fellowship, that many times we don't get to exercise with our busy schedules through the week. So we give you a warm welcome today and always. Just a little something for you to think about here. And of course, it says, you got to laugh, and I did when I read it. It says, what's the difference between death and taxes? Well, Congress doesn't meet every year to make death worse, so I guess that's the difference. Now we'll pray for our Congress. In our call to worship this morning, we're going to look at Psalms 95, 1 to 3. And it says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rocks of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. The great King above all gods. How much more blessed can we be? At this time, I think we'll have our first song of praise music. Did you need water, David?
I have a bottle of water. I'm only doing the first set. First, and then I've incorporated Jerry into the...
The songs in your bulletin this morning, we're going to be doing these as the first hymn totally. And the first one we're going to do is Shout to the Lord. So there's a can, let us stand.
We'll do it twice.
We'll do Shout to the Lord, we'll go through this twice, and then on the next one we'll go through it three times. So Shout to the Lord.
Of your mighty love, I
next one. There's something about that name. And again, we'll do that three times.
And this is based off of Acts 4:12. So when you go home today, read Acts 4:12.
Announcements pertaining to the church?
While I'm up, I might as well say what I have to say. December 17th is our Christmas candlelight service. I am putting the program together, and if there's anyone here that would like to be in the program that evening, please see me or let me know. Send me a text, call me, email, whatever.
You say that's candlelight
service? Candlelight service, December 17th, 7 p.m. We do have a couple special guests coming that night, but if there's anyone here that would like to participate, please let me know. Thanks.
Also, Bob, this coming Sunday night, we're having our social, and we're having a Forever Young coming. So there's a couple of announcements back there on the table. If you want to pick up one, I would encourage everyone to invite somebody to come join us. This is a good time for someone that's kind of been missing church to get back into it here with the Advent season. And so a social is a wonderful time for them. Invite them to come eat with us and hear the music So this would be a great time to make sure that people know they're welcome.
I think they do a variety of type music too, yes. Don't they? Songs and so forth. That's great. Thank you. Others, please. None? If a couple energetic young men who likes to walk steps would be available after church, we'd like to bring the manger set down because Ronnie and Nancy left Thursday to go to their Florida residence, and he asked that if we could put it up for him. So if there's three pieces to the manger set and just a box with the lights in it. If we could bring it down, just set it back there. This week's called pretty good weather. I hope to get it up then. So if you feel strong, that's okay. If you're not, we just want your help. Okay, anything else? Frank.
Just as a reminder, I am going to be calling the committee for the church directory. Try to meet Friday evening if we possibly can, the Thursday or Friday, whichever one fits into their schedule best. But if there's any last minute changes, please give me a call and we'll certainly try to include those in the preparation of it.
Thank you. Others, please? How about joys and concerns? Excuse me. Maxine.
My great niece, Katie Miller, she did go to a nursing home at the beginning of the week, but a couple days later she had another stroke. It's affected her right side. She's back in the hospital. And last Sunday there was an article in the Harristown Herald about her situation, and I did print it out and put it on the back there. And her birthday is tomorrow.
Really?
So if anybody wants to send her cards, the address is on the second page of the article back here. It's on the bulletin board.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think she'd appreciate that, you know. She's going through some really rough things.
That made me think of that. I got to make a note on one that I have here that I forgot about.
Yeah. She's going to be 34 tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, Maxine. Frank.
We were blessed to have the whole family in for Thanksgiving. Got one over here this morning.
Amen.
And we had, Pat, she woke up this morning not feeling the best, I think, too much excitement. She certainly enjoyed it, but so she went out with me this morning. Keep her in our prayers. And we prayed for the safety of those that will be returning to their homes and so forth today.
You heading back today, Bubba?
No, I'm going to go back to Tuesday.
Tuesday, oh, okay.
I appreciate prayers Gracie. For our family. My cousin passed away this week. We had her funeral on Wednesday. She was 73. And so this makes the sixth death in our family this year.
Thank you, Tracy. And Jerry.
I have a couple of joys. First of all, it was nice to get away last weekend, and thanks for all that helped out while I was going. And that little trip does you good. Get you a little revived and back to the basics. Also, we were able to all be together, our family too, for Thanksgiving, and also enjoy Mom and Dad's 55th anniversary.
Right.
And also, I want to keep Aaron's mom. Mm-hmm.
Aaron's mom's having some difficulties. She's had double pneumonia, and she's having trouble breathing, and she goes unconscious at times, and they're not just too sure of the status right now. So keep that in mind. Janet, what's her last name?
Veneer.
Verdier.
Brother, I forgot to mention also Terry's wife, Lynette. She had a serious fall, and she just recently had bypass surgery and so forth. And so, of course, she's sort of banged up from the fall. I'm sure she'd appreciate the prayers and her behalf as well.
She did make it in with you, did she?
Yeah, she did. It's just up and down the stairs and other things and so forth.
And how they
a lot of movement, a lot of activity.
Good. stairs will work on you. I know Linda and I have more trouble with stairs at our young age than we used to. So. Okay, well, we're grateful that she made it in with you, and we're just also grateful that her bypass surgery went
well. Yes, it's coming along very well.
Great. Others, please. Doris. Unspoken?
Yes.
And I think Debbie?
Same thing. I have an unspoken request.
Thank you. Others, please?
Owen ran a marathon up Emmitsburg, Turkey Trot. He come in first place Thanksgiving Day, and we're real joyed about that. He got another medal.
Amen. Way to go. Owen told me, he says, the reason why he won that race, he said that turkey just wouldn't stay back very far. It kept pecking on his heels, so he had to get out of the road. Just kidding, hon. Congratulations there. I think you do wonderful. Just do wonderful. Thank you. Others, please? If not, let us humbly come before the Lord in a position that you feel most comfortable. Father God, as we open our hearts and our minds and our thoughts to you this day, as we've been in and through the Thanksgiving Day period, Lord, we cannot thank you enough for the fellowship and for the time that we spent with family and just how important that is for those concerns to be shared with one another. And Father, what makes it even better, this is the way to get to a man's heart is through his stomach. And Father, the way to get to you is through our heart. And Lord, we just want you to be there in our conscience and in our spirits at all times. So Father, we praise you this day, for we know that our lives are filled with the overpowering love that you offer us, Heavenly Father. And we know, Heavenly Father, with that love that we can sure make a difference in this old world and bring honor to you and to ourselves. The most powerful thing, Heavenly Father, we can do, I believe, in our life is just simply love, forgive, and love others. Heavenly Father, as we thought of that idea, and as we've heard the many names on the prayer concern this day, we ask you to be observant of each and every voice and look up, lift up Katie Miller, who's going through some trying times with her cancer, Heavenly Father. She needs your forbearing strength to be placed upon her and the medicines to calm the situation at hand. So, Lord, just bless her to the fullest, and may her recovery be something that you can manage at the right time. Oh, Father, we think of Stacy Duty, too, Heavenly Father, who has also been faced with cancer throughout her times, and she's on her fourth chemo series at this point. So, Father, bless her and touch her life as well, for we know that the faith of these two is extremely strong, and we just know that the feeling that they have inwardly, maybe they just don't show all the hurt that they're hiding. And, Father, we think of Pat that's not feeling very good this morning, and we just ask that you would lift her up as well. Oh, Lord, we are so great and gratified that Bubba and Lynette could come in from Houston area and be with Frank and Pat to share in the holiday and just to share in a time to visit. When communications are just at a distance over the phone or over the internet, Father, you have put them into a constant touch. Father, we also want to lift up Tracy's family and his cousin. And the lady has passed away, Lord. We know our time is limited here, but, oh, Father, we just ask you to be in our midst, and without that and without that drive, we cannot operate, we cannot manage, and we cannot attest to the time when our numbers are called by your dear voice. Oh, Father, we look as to the unspoken request. There was in several numbers. Lord, there are many things that we don't want to maybe bring out in public, but you needed to hear it so you can honor that healing, that reserve among one and all. And Father, we know, too, that you have blessed many and we call upon you, and we think of Janet Verdier this day and her condition in the hospital. Oh, Lord, just monitor her life and just touch your hand, and may the comfort of peace and healing be at be at her bedside. Oh, Father, we just thank you for hearing that. We've got so many things, and we keep asking over and over, Lord. And many times, I believe, in myself, I forget to say thank you for the times that you have answered and for hearing us, Lord. We just know, Heavenly Father, that when we have the happy moments, what should we do? We should praise God. When we have the difficult moments, Lord, what should we do? We should seek you. Oh, Lord, when we have the quiet moments, what could we do at that time? We should worship you. Yes, Lord, we know when we have the painful moments, what then? We should trust you. And for every moment, Heavenly Father, we say thank you for giving us that opportunity. And this morning, Lord, we just want to take that opportunity and praise you for our pastor, Tracy, and for the goodness that he has done and for his ministry and his family and all that makes this church, well, just function and operate. So we give you the ask that you would be with him, and may his words be your words, Lord, as we look to you this day, and as he comes before us before long, seeing Jesus as King. Is that the King of your life? If it isn't, listen to the message, and let's find Jesus this day, and won't be long, we'll be able to celebrate his birth again. So, Father God, we just thank you for your presence, as you were sitting at the table of many Thanksgiving meals today. And Lord, it was only blessed by Jesus offering the grace. And that is our story this day and our prayer to you. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our call to Christian giving this morning, we're going to look at Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Share it with me if you would, please. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. May we lift the offering of this time. Father God, as we come before you this day, we are eternally grateful that you have put us in this setting. You have carried us through another year. And Lord, there's that song about something about, if I make it through December. Well, Father, when we do make it through December, or make it to December, it often comes and resonates in our minds the gift of Jesus as he laid in that cradle and in that manger, Heavenly Father. So today, with that gift that you gave, with his presence, we give this gift of finances to you through these plates. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for the gift and the giver. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time we'll have another hymn selection, and I believe it'll be hymn number 400, right? If you could stand, please. Our scripture reading for us this morning comes from Psalms as well, from Psalms 2:1-12. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The king of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in peace and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them into his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like the potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed. You judge the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the sons, lest he be angry, and you perish in a way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. What a way to be. To me, I believe that's the only way to get through this life and to have any kind of peace of mind is put your trust in him. Sermon title today, Seeing Jesus as King. Where else should he be but in your heart as your king and your leader in your stay? This time we invite Brother Tracy to the pulpit.
Thank you, brother. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we enjoyed a quiet Thanksgiving in our house, and it was good to have a chance to kick back and share with the family. My son Wesley came over, and then later in the evening we were able to Skype with Matthew and Kaylee down in Tennessee, so we got a chance to see and talk to them as well. So it was a good day. We have much to give thanks for, don't we? And one of the blessings this year is we have kind of an extra Sunday here between the holidays. So normally this would be the first Sunday of Advent. And so here we have a chance just to kind of catch our breath before Advent begins. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings to us. You are our good King. And we just ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds indeed would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, we went to, every year we try to go to the district disaster auction down in Westminster. And we usually try to save up a little bit so we can spend to help support the disaster work. And so one year we went and we saw this picture, and my wife said, oh, we got to get that. And so we bid on it. We did get it, and so I brought it along here today because I'd like to show you it as we think about Jesus as being King. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and so I don't think I have ever preached on Psalms 2 before, and so I thought, well, this would be a good time for us to reveal the picture and kind of focus on him today as king. And so let's take a look at this. One of the recent artists have done this. This is called The Victorious Lion of Judah. And I think it helps us to give a nice picture of who Jesus is. We often think of him as the lamb that was slain, and we are good to do so at Easter time. But he's also the conquering lion of Judah. And you can see him on his throne and also his staff ruling over the nations with the world underneath. We like blue, too, so this was a wonderful picture. We have it hanging in our home. Christ as king. I think sometimes too often we see Jesus as our buddy. And while he might be a friend to sinners, he certainly is more than just a buddy. We forget about his majesty and his power and his prestige as king of the universe. He is a royal king above all kings. And I think about kings. You know, today we have ruling several kings in our world and queens. Probably the most famous queen is Queen Elizabeth of England. She's been reigning for 65 years. Think about that, a lifetime. She has been queen and has done an excellent job. And the British people are very fond of her and love her dearly. And I think around the world as well, she has held herself well in that position. In America, we tend to forget what it's like to live under a monarchy. We forget what it's like to have a king. We have associated kings with in a negative sense, that we have had kings down through the history that haven't ruled very well. and so we rebelled against the King of England at the time of the Revolutionary War and formed our own country. But I think there's lots that we should remember and think about as we think about Jesus as being king. Kings have played very important roles down through the ages. In ancient Mesopotamia, a king really was very important because it helped to keep order in a world that had many threats. And we still have a world full of threats today. But back then, things were very pessimistic. And a king was needed to help the people survive in times of flood and drought, and also to protect the people that were in his realm. And he would gather the resources needed in order to help the people to get through difficulty. And the people at that time often believed in many gods. And so if the gods were angry, they would blame the flood or the famine on God being angry, and they would try to appease the gods. And so the king had power over the people to provide for them and hopefully keep them from being destroyed. In England, down through the centuries, there have been many kingdoms established, and those have formed into countries today, and we see them playing various roles throughout our world. But it's important, I think, for us to remember that when it comes to politics, that Jesus rules in a very important way and a significant way and in a good way. And so he is the best king of all. The prophecy has gone down through the centuries and recorded in the Old Testament for us. And we can see here in verse 6 that it talks about him as being the King of Kings. And in the New Testament, it talks about him coming at his birth. And so as we head into Advent, let me just share a couple words here from Luke to remind us of who he is. This is the angel Gabriel talking to Mary, and you'll remember that conversation very well. And the angel said to her, he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." I'd like for you to think about that. You know, kings and kingdoms, often they only reign a lifetime. The average king reigns for 60 to 80 years. I think the longest one recorded was 84. There's belief that in ancient Egypt, there was a pharaoh that reigned almost 100 years. But the average is about 60 to 80. And so for Queen Elizabeth to reign 65 years, that is quite something. And here we have that the angel is telling Mary that this child is going to be born from you, is going to reign forever. Forever. Not just 100 years, not just 1,000 years, but forever. This is the kind of king that we have. You know, Jesus did so. He came and was prophesied that he would be a king as such, and he was rejected as the king of Israel. He died as a king. Remember, they put a crown on his head in fun and mocked him, and they put a sign above the cross, the King of the Jews. And the some of the Pharisees were upset about that. They said, we want you to change that sign. Should be, he said he was the King of the Jews. We're not claiming him as our king. And Herod said, well, what I've written, I've written. And it's going to stay the way I've written it. And so above for the cross was the King of the Jews. He was rejected and he died. And now reigns as a king. And actually, he's a king priest in the order of Melchizedek. And he will reign forever and ever. One of the popular musical that we like to hear at this time is Handel's Messiah. And particularly, classic is the Hallelujah Chorus. And King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You remember hearing that? It'll be sounding on our radios and in our churches this Christmas season. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That title, King of Kings, was a very early Eastern declaration of a great monarch. It was also, in a sense, regarded as a divine title. And so it was used, probably one of the earliest times it was used with the Persians. We have documents that have been discovered in media that claim that their king was a King of Kings. But in reference to Jesus, we have several Bible verses that talk about him. And it says that he is the King of the Jews in Matthew. In Mark and John, it talks about him being King of Israel. And he is the king that's judging the nations. And that he will establish a millennial kingdom on this earth. He is a great king. He is a king eternal, incorruptible, invisible, God only wise. And he is the king of the ages, according to Revelations. Well, kings reign over an area. They reign over a kingdom. And there is a spiritual realm in which Jesus rules over us. We think only about the physical realm. And when we think about kings, we think about politics and that realm. But there is a spiritual realm and a spiritual kingdom that we're a part of. And the kingdom of God, then, is the sphere of God's rule and reign in our lives presently. And also in the future to come. It is a fundamental principle of the kingdom to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our main task. Entrance into this kingdom of God is through the new birth, by belief in Christ. And Jesus taught his followers, he taught us to pray, which we do. Usually every week we pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so think about what we pray when we say that as words. Thy kingdom come. Sometimes the kingdom of God is used interchangeably in the scriptures with the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes you'll see that, the kingdom of heaven. And it is by grace that we constitute a part of this kingdom. It is not by our merits or our work, but what he has done. And so we have a spiritual kingdom and we are called a holy and royal priesthood. We are a part of that kingdom of God. Well, Psalms 2 is a psalm, a royal psalm. It is probably going back to a coronation of a Judean king. Probably was written by David. And it is a messianic portrayal of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Think about Christ coming and reigning on this earth for 1,000 years. And so this is a psalm. It's entitled The Coronation of the Lord's Anointed. Coronation. I don't know if you've ever seen a coronation ceremony. Particularly in England, there's lots of prompt and ceremony and grandeur. Robes and crowns and jewels and parades. Coronation. God has coronated. He has said that this one who is his son, is the Lord's anointed. He is to be king. Well, Psalms 1 really is a nice contrast with Psalms 2. And in Psalms 1, we find two ways for an individual's life And here in Psalms 2, we find two ways for a nation's life, for a people's life. And so in Psalms 1, we have the wicked shall perish. In Psalms 2, we have those who refuse to do homage or to worship the king will perish as well. And so the basic theme of this psalm is that man's rebellion against God is futile, and that is because God has already anointed Christ to be the king of the earth. So if we break this psalm down just a little bit, you take a look in your bulletin, you'll see the first three verses here is mentioning about the rebellion of the nations. What is it that causes people to think that they can get away with what they want? Have come together to scheme, to plan, and their plans ultimately come to naught. And so it's really an absurdity of man to think that he can plan or rebel against God Almighty. And the scripture here talks about the heathen rage. They assemble together. It is a picture of a meeting, of a convocation, of leaders coming together from many nations. We have seen that certainly many times on the news. Leaders will come together over economic problems, over war, over different issues. Will come together to plan for a rebellion against God. You know, it's interesting that we don't like to follow sometimes the ways that God has laid out for us. And so especially we feel like sometimes that God's law is constraining. And we'll just as soon make our own laws and do what we think is best. God kind of just at first chuckles about this, you know. Here's puny man trying to make these decisions about what he's going to do or not do. And many times it's really a direct attack against God himself and God's people. And so the wording here really kind of highlights the political leaders. But we may also apply this verse, I think, to economic areas and to business leaders, in areas of education, other influential bodies in our culture and our society. If we take a look at this prophecy down through the centuries, we'll see one of the first times that leaders came together against God was in Nimrod's meeting in Genesis 11. We see at the time of Christ, the Sanhedrin gathered together to plot against Jesus with the Romans' help. And then even in modern times, some would say that the UN is really a group that's kind of trying to engineer a humanistic government, one world government. So the ultimate end and ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy will come at the end of the age, when the nations will gather together against God and against God's people. The term here, anointed, refers to the Messiah. The Messiah is the Hebrew word for the Greek word Christ. We tend to use the Greek word Christ more often in his title. But in the Hebrew, the Jewish people tend to use the word Messiah more. They're looking for the coming of the Messiah. But, you know, this ultimately, the rebellion is against the Lord and his Christ, the Creator, our Savior. It's also important, I think, to note that you know, anointing really was first held for those that were prophets and for priests and for kings. At a king's coronation, the king would be anointed. But you know, there's only one person that fills all three of those offices, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is king and priest and prophet, and he is God's anointed. I'd like for us to think also, too, that in the time in which we live, that the enemy really hates God's people. We've seen it down through the centuries with Nazi Germany, Hitler. There's always been an effort to try to exterminate God's people with Esther in the Old Testament. And I think that hatred continues to rise at times and will continue. We'll see that at the end. And at the end, the nations are really going to gather around and against Israel. And we have seen that in our own lifetime, that our country has at times wavered a little bit on our support of Israel. Even our own church, the Church of the Brethren, tends to favor the Palestinian issue and highlights that, their complaints. There are certainly grievances on both sides, and yet the scriptures are very clear to us that we need to stand with Israel and we need to pray for the peace of Israel. When I was in Israel, it struck me, we were in Bethlehem or passing from Bethlehem to the next town, and there was a big sign on the side of the building. Well, Bethlehem is in the hands of the Palestinians. And there was a sign on the corner that caught my eye, and I just had to stop and take a picture of it. It said, pray for the freedom of Palestine. That contrasts with the pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They were emphasizing praying for the liberation of Palestine. But we, as believers, want to support God's people. They have a significant place in the end times, and so do we. And so we want to pray for them and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The next couple of verses 4 through 6, gives us God's answer. Just as God kind of laughs a little bit at first about the how the people or the leaders are acting, he here shows that really the rebellion is prosperous. Laughter turns to scorn here, and he changes very quickly to the burning anger of righteous anger of God against the leaders. And he has already instituted his chosen one. He has already crowned Christ as the anointed. And then in verse 7 and 9 here, it talks a little bit about God's plan for the anointed. And he talks about that Jesus is his son, names him my son. We hear that that term used at Jesus' baptism. This is my son, the voice came out of the cloud and said, listen to him. And so the verse here, actually verse 7, is the son Jesus himself speaking and noting that he indeed is very son of God. And so we have a father talking here, we have the son talking, and we have the Holy Spirit mentioned as well. This beloved son is going to have dominion and victory over all. And in verse 7 it says that the Father gave the decree and the Son declared it. We hear that same kind of phrase used in John. It says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus declares the Father. Verse 7 here, also Luke picks up in terms of the resurrection, and when he talks about that in Acts 13. You know, God's ultimate purpose is for Christ to be ruling over all the nations as a righteous judge. And then in verse 8 it talks about the inheritance. And the inheritance here is declared by the Son to be heir of all things. He's the heir of all things. Because of what Christ has done, his victory on the cross, and God was so pleased with him that he has given all things into the hands of Jesus. And so he is the rule, and he is the heir of all things. And likewise, then, as followers of Christ, I hope we get a bigger picture of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because we're joint heirs with him. Heir is more than just a sinner saved by grace. We have the inheritance of the kingdom of God. We are joint heirs with him. The final verses of this psalm, verses 10 through 12 here, talks about an admonition to the kings. And so instead of planning and plotting against God, they should really choose wisdom. They should pay homage and to serve the Lord. You know, if you're a king, people are bowing down to you. They're coming forward, maybe kissing your ring. It might be a little bit hard, maybe at first, for a king to recognize that I'm under a king as well, and for that king to bow down to the King of Kings. And so they need to pay homage and to serve the Lord. There's five quick instructions here given at the end of this psalm to be wise. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective, from his point of view, his wisdom. To be wise, to be instructed, to know about the plans and the purposes of God. The plans and purposes of God will not be thwarted. They will not be disrupted by anything that we plan. God will carry out his purposes for the ages and for all eternity. We are to serve the Lord then in humility and obedience, to humble ourselves as servants of a king. You know, in medieval England, if a king told you to do something, you better be sure you better do it. You didn't really have a choice. You didn't say, well, we'll take up a vote in the community tomorrow night and decide if we want to do it. Whatever the king said, you did. And so his word was law. And you were a humble servant to carry out that ruling. And so out of obedience and humility, we should serve the Lord, our Lord. We are to rejoice and to glory in him. And finally, we're told to kiss the Son. I'd like for you to think about that phrase just for a second, to kiss the Son. Brethren, still here at Monocacy, I think it's fading in many churches, but brethren, the brotherly kiss, greet one another with a brotherly kiss. We do that literally here at Monocacy. But here we're told to kiss the Son. And it means more than just to pay homage to him. We've come to worship him and to praise him. But it means to embrace him and to embrace all that he stands for. And to depend upon him and not to be ashamed of him. You know, if we have an opportunity to speak up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed, to take that opportunity and to share, interject into the conversation some spiritual things and maybe point people to the Savior. This phrase, kiss the Son, really is a kind of an Old Testament way of saying, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. It really is a beautiful evangelical promise. He promises to bless us, those who we don't follow the counsel of the ungodly, as in Psalms 1, but we follow the blessings that are promised to those who put their trust in Christ that we find here in Psalms 2. So notice the psalm ends with, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. And so if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your faith in him, you are blessed. You will be blessed. We are joint heirs with Christ. And so as we head into a season when we're thinking about Jesus as this cute little baby in the cradle, born in Bethlehem, Christmas time, we need to remember this isn't just a cute little baby. This is the King of Kings. Imagine the glory and the power and the prestige that he had to lay down, leaving heaven to come to earth that first time. The God of the universe shrunk into an infant in the womb of Mary to be born in Bethlehem. He did that he might come to fulfill the Father's plan and purposes for the ages, to walk out with us, to communicate to us the love of God, to become one of us in order that he might save us. That's the kind of king that we serve. And a king that loves us that much, we don't need to fear. Whatever he tells us, we can do. And we should do. Obediently and humbly, we should follow his reign and his rule in our lives. And so today I'd like for us just to think about Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lion of Judah. The lamb that was sacrificed is also the lion. At Sight and Sound, they have a nice portrayal of that in a fountain there. But to see Jesus as king, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe we ought to get away from seeing him a little bit from Buddy Buddy and to see him a little bit more high and lifted up, exalted, far above all others. His power, position, his prestige, who he is. He is King of Kings. And so he is our sovereign. He is our master. He is our Lord. He is our majesty. And so we say, yes, Lord. Yes, your majesty. Yes, your sovereign. What is God telling you to do? What is it that you need to do? He's been gently telling you, whispering in your ear, maybe something that you need to do. Will you obey? To humble yourself. May not understand it exactly, but to humble yourself, to trust that he's the King of Kings. He knows the future. And he's coming to reign. And so I hope that you'll quickly say yes. You know, obedience is to quickly and cheerfully obey those that have authority over us. It is to follow the wise direction of those who have given a responsibility to care for us. A king is worried about his realm. He's worried about the people in his kingdom. He wants to do all he can for his subjects. And so our sovereign is looking out for us and is responsible for us. And so kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Put your faith and trust in him. And the rest of your life is to be in service to him. To serve him as a humble servant. So I want to encourage you today to see Jesus as King. I want to close with this psalm. I'm not going to try to sing it. But Deb, I can give you the chords here. Maybe sometime you can play it for us. It's called Sing to the King. The numbers that she picked out here this morning were excellent. They did help us to focus on the King. This is entitled Sing to the King. Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring. And joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He is all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King. For his returning we watch and we pray. We will be ready the dawn of that day. We'll join in singing with all the redeemed, because Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Amen.
Amen.
Let us see Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, Sovereign of the universe, we praise you, Master. You have given us a King of Kings, and you have given us a Holy Spirit. And we thank you that we are more than conquerors through Christ who reigns in us. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom, your power, and your majesty to reign over your creation for all of eternity. And so today we again bow before you. We look forward to the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look forward to serving you for all time, for time and eternity. And so, Lord, as we prepare to celebrate again the incarnation, help us to see you not just as a baby in the manger, but lifted high and highly exalted on your throne, and soon coming again to establish your reign for 1,000 years. Make us to be humble and obedient servants as joint heirs with you. I pray your blessing would be on all who put their trust in you and in your kingdom. And we pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We'll close our service today by singing number 337. Would you join me in standing? Now may the grace of the King of Kings and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Praise God. Glad to see you. Glad to hear your